Well, with us at the table, Jan Fallon, and the author of the book Campsite 6. We're going to talk about the book in just a little bit after a song and a bit of a break. But welcome to the table, Jan.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell my story.
Well, you're very welcome. And you are part of a writer's group, Writers on the Rock, and in Lakewood. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about writer's groups a little bit later on. We want to talk about the mechanics of writing a fiction book. But first of all, we want to get your story. And you have, in fact, people can read the story apart from the book, can't they? Where would they go for that?
I've written several blog posts that come from my personal story on my website, which is janfallon.com.
Okay, F-A-L-L-O-N, janfallon.com.
That's right.
I think you're going to want to go there and hear more of the story, but give us in a nutshell what your story is all about.
Well, my story, and one of the reasons why it's such a privilege to talk about it, is what God did in the darkest, loneliest parts of my life, which occurred mostly in my childhood. But as many people know, there's remnants that stay with you that have shaped you, and some of that shaping takes you to good places, and every once in a while, it reoccurs, the things that you experienced. So I love to tell that story. And what it is I was raised in an Italian-American family in Detroit area. We were part of the automotive industry, had a great family home. And then when I was about 5 years old, things started to disintegrate.
Ooh,
I was the last of four children, and we had three deaths that came back to back to back. My sister, my father, and my grandfather.
Were any of them violent deaths?
No, they were all illnesses.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes. And that, as you might imagine, devastated my mom, who was already in a fragile position and kind of delving into alcohol use. And so when that took place, she just went full bore into her sorrow. And because my sister had passed, which was my sibling just a little bit older than me, that left me alone with my mom because my two brothers had already grown and gone. So the scenario of being a young child in the care of an adult who was barely coping caused a lot of dysfunction, as we put it nowadays.
How old were you when that started then?
When I was 5 years old, there was drinking going on with both of my parents.
Wow.
And they were kind of on a shaky relationship ground. I don't really know the ins and outs of what that was because I was young. But then when I was 7, my sister died, and 9, when my dad died, and my grandfather died in between those. So it was really a lot of sorrow and sadness. And
that alone would affect you as a child.
Right.
But now you've got an alcoholic mother as well.
Right. And from the day one, I loved my mom with a passion that never ended. So she was a very fragile, delicate person. She was funny. She had a lot of life in her, but it was just went in the really wrong direction. And you can understand it when you hear the facts, but the living through it was really rough. I moved around a lot. I lived with many relatives and friends that stood by my side and just nudged me another step, you know, helped me with a place to live, a school to go to. I went to 13 different schools.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
I lived with, you know, like I said, sometimes strangers that took me in.
So your mom was not with you then?
Right. She had different times when she went under care, you know, or she just wasn't able to take care of me. A couple times I asked for help, you know, it was like, I can't do this. You know, I can't live here. When I was approaching my teenage years, I did kind of put my foot down. And I said, I need something different to happen or else I'm going to be street bound.
Wow. You know? Did you ever rebel, as we think of rebellion, because of your difficulties?
I think the sorrow got heightened for me in my late teens when I realized everything I had gone through. When you're in it, you're just doing it.
Okay.
You know, you're surviving and you're doing the next thing. And I'd have to break into my house, or sometimes I stayed all night at the bar. I would try to walk home, you know, and I'm a little kid. So it's just that scenario that.
And you were at the bar because your mom was
there? Yeah. Yeah, I would go along.
Wow.
Sometimes I would be home, you know, so either way, it wasn't a really good picture. But they were, my mom remarried and her husband was also an alcoholic. And so that's what they lived.
Wow.
And it kind of takes your attention away from more important things.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, we're going to come back, and I'm sure there's a lot of questions Denise and I both have about, you know, how does this get translated into a book? What's the book all about? And we'll talk about that. And then maybe the construction of a book in our third break together. So great to have you here. Thanks for sharing your story. And again, people can hear much more in the details of your story, janfallon.com, and of course in the book, which we'll get to next break.
We're talking with author Jan Fallon this morning. She's the author of Campsite 6. And Jan, let's just talk about the sense of loss that you were feeling. I imagine at 5, I can remember just my mom leaving me with a babysitter and just this incredible sense of loss. And you facing so much loss as a little child and then into your teen years as well. What kind of things enabled you to deal with that, and how did you work with that throughout the years before you started to write?
That is an awesome question, because I love the answer, and that is all of the people that jumped in to help me. Family members. I lived in a lot of places, but many of them were places where people were just trying to help. My stepsister Barb and her husband Al took me in when they had little children their own, and I was a early teenager and just had my own issues. I remember being in the place where my hands would shake. I couldn't hold a pencil, you know, because my hands shook so bad from just the trauma or whatever that I had been through, and then just trying to know where I fit and how would I move forward. And it was the people that stood beside me, my cousin Jeannie, who I'd met in third grade when I lived with my Aunt Liz, and then again in high school I lived with my Aunt Liz, who I believe literally saved my life. She was a very steady person. She wasn't overly demonstrative, but she gave me everything a stable home would give, you know. Dinner at 5, wash the dishes, Jan, that's your job, you know.
Yeah,
Don't wear flip-flops to school, you know, just things that nobody else was paying attention to for many of my years. She did, and also because I at that time lived near my cousin Jeannie, who was from another family, gave me a real sense of family. She is to this day my dearest friend, and she was instrumental in bringing me to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he had for me.
That's where I was going next. When did you learn about the Lord, and what was your relationship with your mom through this?
Great.
I don't know. Probably not very good, I would imagine, but talk about that a little bit.
Well, we were devout Catholics as a family, and so we did attend Mass and catechism and different things like that. So I had that early foundation, and then the many years when that took a back seat. And when I lived with my stepsister Barb and her husband Al, they were both had become strong Christians, and they gave me a real boost of Christianity, gospel and the Bible and teaching and everything, when I lived with them, which was also just so foundational to me eventually as an adult, like saying, okay, this is what I need. This is not an option. Mm-hmm. And that came with my cousin Jeannie, who was attending church, and we were good friends, and I went to her and I said, I need God. I need God. That's about all I could say.
Wow. And, at what age, can I ask?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was in my early 20s. When I had tried the world off and on and realized that it was never sustaining, and I fell hard for God at that point. And there's a lot of other stories in there, but she and I went to church together, and I heard great gospel teaching, and then he just drastically, at that moment, drastically changed my life. That I know many of your listeners have can identify with just who I was before and who I was after was drastically different.
Wow.
Drastically.
Well, it's an amazing story, and a lot more details are in your blog as well. Jan Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, janfallon.com. So I'd suggest you go there and read some of those blog spots and find out more. 7:31, we're talking in studio with Jan Fallon, a fascinating story. And if you missed the story or even part of it, you can go on Jan Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, janfallon.com. It's her blog, and she has a lot of blog posts there about her life and about her story as well. Jan is an author as well, and she's put together her very first book. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And it's not per se a story of you. You decided not to write, okay, this is my story, like you've been telling us. You decided to go to fiction instead. How does that transition work, and why did you decide to write Campsite 6?
Well, I think that part of it is there is a lot of mystery in our lives, and I wanted to have the opportunity to kind of entertain what God and heaven was doing while I was being called to Him. And I knew what my life on earth was like, and I had felt, you know, an impression, is what I would have called it back then, that there was more from God that He wanted me to do, and, you know, not in an action step, but like to come to Him. And I played with that and walked away from that too many times. And so my story is about that, what I call that fine line, and it is a term I use in my book, the fine line that we cross when we weren't and then we were His. Like, just it's just instantaneous. He's not far away. You know, he's so very close. And so I wanted to take that idea of that heaven and earth transition that I experienced, and so I put that in a fiction setting.
Okay, and in the byline here, she wanted to get away. She didn't know how far she would go. That's intriguing. And you said this is an amazing book. Everyone should read it. That was L.H. Who is L.H.?
L.H. is one of my first readers. She was instrumental in helping me embrace the story, and also just found some things, you know, that she questioned, like, well, what did this mean? Yeah. What did that mean? So I could clarify different things.
In writing the story, were you able to process your life more, and what's behind the scenes, what's going on in the heavenlies, as the book of Ephesians tells us?
Right. Yes, it was amazing, the different things. I started with just an idea. I didn't really plot my book out. I learned that that term, that I, the type of writer I was with this book, is a pantser.
Oh.
Somebody who writes by the seat of their pants. And so I just had an idea.
Okay.
I started writing, and I would have those huge aha moments, like, oh my gosh, where I discovered more or remembered things that showed me that God had been involved and the great things that He did. And one of the reasons why, for readers, I wanted to write the book is this scripture in Isaiah 61:3, that He gives us a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And He did that for me, and also my mom, who one sovereign day gave her life to Christ and was immediately healed from alcoholism.
Oh, wow.
And
praise
so,
God.
It, you know, he is just tantamount to life being good. And I wanted to be able to have the opportunity to express these things that He did that aren't just for me, they're for everyone.
This was a real spiritual awakening going through the book, and writing the book, it sounds like.
Right, it was. There were times when I just would tell my husband, it's like, oh my gosh, I know what I'm going to write next. Or, oh, I wrote that, and now I know what that means. And I'll give you a real quick clip. Most of my life I spent focused on my mom because my dad passed when I was young. And so I never really even thought much about him as a person. And when I was writing the book, I had to kind of confront what was that personality. And I had just a couple years ago come across this picture that I almost threw away several times. And then one day I realized that there was a picture in the picture. It was a picture of a mirror on the back wall that I finally recognized, and it was my mom and dad standing face to face. And he was smiling, and she was smiling, and he was holding her belly. And I looked at that, and I'm like, oh, she's pregnant. And then I looked up at the date. This is one of those old black and whites with the date stamp on it. And it was January 1956. It was the month before I was born. And so to see that joy in my family just five, you know, just before it kind of, after I was born, it all was kind of disintegrating, was just so earth-shattering in the best sort of way that I identified. I had a paradigm shift, you know, one of those things like it wasn't always bad.
Wow,
we had
that's
a good
beautiful.
Foundation.
What a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Where can a person find the book, Campsite 6?
On Amazon. I have it as a paperback and Kindle. So if you go to Amazon.com or you go to JanFallon.com and click to purchase the book, you'll be taken to Amazon and can order it paperback or Kindle.
Campsite 6. I see on the front here there's a tent. So you decided to have the setting in a campsite?
Yes.
Okay. Why so?
Well, that's the fine line again. When I gave my life back to Jesus as an adult, immediately I was in a singles group at the church where I had done that, and they went camping. And it was just impressed upon me that was... In part, the setting that a reader will read in the book, a place where I totally embraced, even though I was afraid, I wasn't in a Christian culture for years, you know, if I would fit, how I would be, if I would behave well enough, those kinds of things. And so I recognized that was the place where I gave myself fully over to this new experience that I would have in a group of awesome Christian singles. Oh.
I used to ask fiction authors what the message of their book is, and then I found out that's not how you write a fiction with a message, because then it becomes preachy, and it should be a nonfiction book. But rather, you write because you're living your life as a reader through this character.
Right.
What would you say the theme then is of the book?
The theme of the book is God is so near, and he is patient. He's as patient as he needs to be for us to recognize our need for him. And then the other part would be he's not done. You know, we look to God a lot for our future, but he's also not done with your past. And that's what I recognize is that he's still attentive to the things that I experienced. Like that picture I described. I was an empty nester when I saw that picture before I was born. And it just made such a huge impact on me to just see that. And that was a gift from him, you know, to settle an issue that had been unsettled.
Jan, do you share your story in group settings, too? Do you speak at all?
I have, yes, I have.
Okay, so if somebody wants to invite you to their group,
I would
what
love
do they do?
That.
Call, go on JanFallon.com. What's the best way?
They can call me at 720-299-5587 if that's preferable, or go to JanFallon.com and email me or fill out a form. I have all those different options.
And if a person doesn't go on a computer, and some people don't, we do have that number here in the studio, so we can pass that on to you. Well, Denise, exciting story, isn't it?
It's a great story. I just have one more question. Is there another book, Jan? I just sort of feel like maybe you've been thinking about that.
That's interesting. I have a book on my mind, and it's starting just a lot like Campsite 6, where it's just an idea, and it is one that will also process an experience that I had in my past, and if that's the direction that I go in, I'm going to have to rely heavily on God to help me write this one, but with an excitement knowing what he did with my first book that, you know, took some dark turns because our life was dark, but it also was just filled with in his glory and his redemption. And that's a really good story to tell, the redemptive part.
Great. Well, yes, we're looking forward to that one as well. This one, Campsite 6, and it's on Amazon, or you can go to JanFallon.com. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Denise and Roy.
Thanks for sharing
your
story.
You're so welcome.